I just noticed a piece of paper on the pulpit says there's a light blue Toyota Corolla, South Carolina number 468 DGV. Your lights are on. I don't know if that's from this morning or tonight. Is that tonight? Okay. If it was there this morning, I don't think the lights would be on anymore. You may want to surreptitiously leave as we sing the first song together and go and take care of that problem. Let's turn to 520, please. 520, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We'll use that alternate melody tonight as we sing. You sing enthusiastically. That's the best way I know to dry off as we sing together. 520, redeemed. And to 638 or 639, whichever you choose, we're going to sing the medley together. There are three songs, so keep right on moving. We'll do the first stanza on each of those. Number 638, turn your eyes upon Jesus, every day with Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, for all you've done.
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing that second stanza on that last song we sang, Thank You, Jesus, for Love Like Thine. Would you be seated, please?
I trust you sang that from your heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you are mine and that He is yours because you are His through faith and trust in Him. First verse said, Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We ought to be thanking the Lord for all He's done in the way of rain for us after we were without it for a long time. And I think of that verse in Ephesians, Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think. And surely the Lord did that in sending the rain. They say He sends it on the just and the unjust. So I don't know if it was the just that had it before and the unjust are getting it now or whether it's the other way around. But anyhow, we're glad to have it. And I know you are too. Let's turn to our memory verses in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 50. We'll say the reference. The verses, and then repeat the reference. Acts 47, 48 through 50. Acts 7, excuse me. Not 40, so I don't think there are 47 chapters in Acts. Let's try that again. Acts 7, 48 through 50. Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Psalm 48. It was a short afternoon. I'd like to thank you all for coming and sharing in this service this evening. We appreciate everyone being here. And I know a lot of our folks are down in the single service tonight, but we're glad you're here. And if you're a visitor with us, we say a special word of greeting to you. And I know some of you are. And we're glad to have you in our service. Trust that you'll leave behind a record of your visit by taking a visitor's card out of the book rack in the pew in front of you. And then putting that in the offering plate when it passes by in just a little bit. We're honored tonight to have Senator Andre Bauer with us. He's the Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor. I'll just ask him to stand. I don't think he can stay till the end of the service, but we're glad to have him here tonight. And in that connection, if you're not registered to vote, we encourage you to do so. Tom Butts is back in the ministry area, and there are some forms there that you can take and register. Some of you have moved to Greenville not too long ago, and perhaps you've not registered to vote here, and we hope that you will do that and be ready for the election coming up in November. So the time is passing by for the deadline, and go back to the ministry area and pick up one of those forms tonight. Senator Bauer, again, we thank you for coming and being with us this evening. We'd like to remind the ladies about signing up for the ladies' retreat, which is coming up in just 2 weeks at the Wilds. And you're going to miss something very special if you don't attend that retreat. We have a committee that's been working on this, and they put a lot of time, a lot of planning into it. And Mrs. Collier is going to be speaking. And it's just always a blessing to go to the Wilds and then to have the retreat at that same time. So I hope many ladies will sign up for that tonight in the Ministry Center. You still have an opportunity to do it next week, but sign up as quickly as you can because the places of residence there are given out in order in which people come. Other announcements in the bulletin that I trust you would give attention to. We had a great a great accomplishment in getting all of the flooring laid in the new activity center. In fact, some of the sanding has already been done by Scott Kinky and one coat of finish that's behind the bleachers. But we do thank those of you who helped with that. And I wonder if you helped to put in a nail or laid a single board or did anything like that, would you just stand up tonight and let us see who you are? I know not all the folks are here. I want you to look at these folks. And you know, when you go out and play on the floor and you didn't help with it, remember that you have these people to thank for the work that they did. As I told you before, that measured out to about 13 miles if you took it linear feet. So that's a lot of wood. And these folks did that. And we're all going to get to enjoy it if we play basketball or volleyball or such as that. But let's pray now for the rest of the work to be done. We're still hoping to have that building completed by the 1st of October. And I also want to thank the ladies who baked the cookies. You kept these men going with your goodies. And we thank you for taking the time to share in that. Number of things that we want to remember in prayer tonight. We mentioned this morning about Mrs. Payne's granddaughter, Miss Mary Payne, grandson, I'm sorry, who passed away suddenly. And his mother was on a tour over in Egypt, and they have located her, and she and her sister will be coming home. But I know this is a tremendous shock for them get this news while they're away, and to pray for them as they come and pray for this family during this time. This would be Ralph Payne's nephew. As far as we know, there are a lot of folks in the family who do not know the Lord, and let's pray for God to undertake and speak to their hearts during this time. Oscar Bates still remains in the hospital in Greenville Memorial, and we want to keep on praying for him. Also, Hazel Reby is still there. Jack Phillips is at Duke, and we want to pray for his needs to be met as he undergoes tests and procedures. Shannon Graham and Peggy Snoddy had outpatient surgery this week. Bill Williams had a heart catheterization, which showed everything is clear. Mary Phillips had a stress test. Tammy Jacobs will be having surgery this Tuesday. And we remember Joyce Hamer, whose mother passed away, and she has gone for the funeral. Ruth Buer is one of our ladies who's serving over in China as a teacher. And you know, sometimes they have to write in code. They can't really say things outright as they might like to do. But here is an email or two emails that her folks got from her, and I just thought this was interesting. In the first one, she says, a local brother and his wife were given free stay in the same hotel chain Paul and Silas stayed in when they gave the music concert. I do not know how long they will vacation there. And then the second email said, I ran into our brother tonight. He only stayed one night in the Elite Hotel. He said he was fine and he looked good. So I think you get the gist of that. If you don't, see me after the service and I'll explain it to you. But let's pray for Ruth and those who work in China that God will continue to use them there in a very special way as they teach English and have an opportunity to have impact upon the lives of those whom they teach. I want to pray for ourselves as we're gathered here tonight. We're so grateful for the Brocks taking the time to come to be with us this weekend. Walt Brock is the director of the Ironwood Christian Camp out in the California desert. Some of you have been there. Some of you have not been there. We hope that you'll have an opportunity to go. Bobby and I have been privileged to be there a number of times, and we're always blessed by visiting that place and sometimes having a part in what's going on there. Last time we were there, Bobby spoke at a ladies' retreat. And I got the opportunity of working in the dining hall. They had a brand new dining hall. And they actually let me work in the kitchen. And I was especially good at spraying off the tables before the meals. So I have some experience now in that. And if after Pastor Connolly becomes the pastor and I need something to do, perhaps I can get a job at Ironwood or at the Wilds, someplace like that, working in the kitchen or waiting on tables. But it's been a blessing to have the Brocks with us. I know the ladies were blessed by Mrs. Brock's ministry, and all of us have been blessed by his ministry. Now, we're going to take a free will offering for them at the close of the service tonight. So our offering now will be for our regular budget needs, and then everything we get in that free will offering will go to our love gift to the Brocks for coming and sharing God's word with us and just being a blessing to us this weekend. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place to receive your tithes and offerings for this evening. Pastor Alston will lead us in our prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we give you praise that your work is great and variated. Sometimes, Lord, particularly in our setting here in Greenville, with a number of good, strong sister churches, with the Christian University nearby, we tend to think that everyone does it the way we do it. And Lord, your work is too big for that. There are people who love you and serve you who do things a little differently from us all over the world. And we thank you for the same principles and the same truths and the same philosophy and yet a different flavor that the Brocks have brought as you have sent them here to minister to us this weekend. We give you thanks for them and pray that even again tonight, the things that you say to us through him would change us, would edify and strengthen us, would convict us or comfort us as we have need before you and before your word by your Spirit. We bring before you folks who have had procedures, surgeries, or people who are still facing such things in the coming days. We ask that you would guide those who minister to their bodies, but that you, by your Spirit, through your word and even by your people, that you would minister to their heart, that you would give them your peace, that you would direct them into seeking you and resting in you as they look into the future and see perhaps difficult days ahead. We think particularly of Mr. Bate, who has had such a difficult couple of weeks and whose situation is still very serious. Give him healing, Father, as we pray for these others who have different physical needs. We ask that you will give him and his family your peace. We ask you tonight for Operation Renewed Hope and for the Piedmont Women's Clinics that you would bless these ministries. They are large and important. They deal with life and death issues for people here and abroad. We ask God that you would give them their needs, that they would have the things they need, but beyond that, that they would be powerful by your grace to accomplish eternal goals and benefits and blessings through the things that you give them. Undertake for these people. Help us to be involved, whether it would be by active service with them or support of them with funds or prayer. We ask you now, Heavenly Father, that you will undertake for us because we need you. Bless this offering and use it for your kingdom's increase. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen.
It's our desire and our prayer that the music program here at the services each week is a blessing to you and that it prepares your heart for the preaching of the Word of God. We do appreciate those who participated today. We want to say a special thank you to Maureen Phoenix for her beautiful offertory for us this evening. We're going to take our hymnals in just a moment and sing together, and then following that we'll have a duet by Nancy Lee Eric and Annette Mutsky. So take your hymnal now, if you will, please. Let's turn to 435. 435. We're going to sing a gospel song that should be a prayer of ours every day. It's a great one to use with your own personal devotional time. I don't know if you sing when you have your devotions, but it's a great hymn to use for that. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. 435. Shall we stand to sing, please? Every hour, most holy one. Would you be seated, please?
Amen. Giving yourself away is enough. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, this evening, it's been a real pleasure for my wife and I to be here with you folks. Some of the best things that ever happened to me in my life happened in this town. I met my wife over at school our second year that we were there. The machine they had to decide which table you're going to sit at for dinner broke down. We had to sit at the same table two series in a row. And during that second go-round, we finally got to meet. And it was a lifesaver for me. And coming to the university, I want to thank all of you here, perhaps, who are involved over there for your sacrifice and labor of love through the years. I arrived at the campus as an old country boy, not knowing could not even name the parts of speech. And what they could do with me in 4 years by opening the top of my head and cramming in as much as they possibly could, bless God, they did what they could. And that was great. The education there has been the foundation of my life, and we praise the Lord for that. This evening, I want to take some opportunity to share some things with you about our ministry at Ironwood, and I'm going to get to the passage in Philippians chapter 4 in a little bit and talk to you there about God's provision for those who are in ministry and for those who are supporting those in ministry. Before we get to that passage this evening, I want to preface my remarks with a couple of other verses. The first would be in Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. And Nehemiah has been one of those books that I have turned to over and over again in the years gone by. I just started again about a month ago doing an in-depth study again of the book, and I've got through the first two chapters. And I praise the Lord for the new insights I've learned even just recently. But in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." And I would call your attention to that last phrase, "they perceive that this work was wrought of our God." So this evening, as I am going to attempt, as one of the missionaries that this church supports our ministry at Ironwood, to give to you a report of some of the things that God has done, not only recently, but over the years at Ironwood. It is not in any attempt to pat ourselves in the back or to say, look what we've done, but I trust and pray that these comments and these thoughts and these statements would bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, and for all of us to say, well, isn't it marvelous what God has done, what work He has wrought out there at Ironwood. And that would be my prayer this evening in that area. The second verse I'd like to read and prefacing in my remarks this evening is from Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Some people over the years have asked me why pick the desert for a place to build a camp, and why of all places California? There's a lot of people who joke about being on the left coast and the land of fruits and nuts and all those kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is, it's part of the world, and it's part of the world that God has called us to go reach. As a matter of fact, if you were to get a globe and look at the city of Jerusalem, there would be very few populated places in the world farther into the uttermost parts of the world than California is. And that is part of this place that God has called us to. At the same time, within our own country, if we were to take the verse concerning the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1, to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, then perhaps California would be, for the rest of our nation, our Samaritan mission field. If you think about Samaria, as the Lord had commanded the church to go to Samaria with the gospel, It was a province nearby. It was one of the provinces nearby. It was a culture looked down upon by the Jews, and it was a mixed culture crowd. And that's exactly what we have out in California. We have a mixed culture that, by and large, if I start repeating some of the jokes about California and crowds anywhere besides California, everybody laughs because you've heard them. Some of the folks in California don't laugh about them, but the matter of the fact is that it is where God's called us. 33 million people in that city, one out of every state, one out of every nine people in the United States live in the state of California. I was talking with a pastor out there who had a Spanish-speaking evangelist who was about to retire, who'd been preaching the gospel in Spanish-speaking cities throughout the Western Hemisphere all his life. And he said that he had preached in every major city in South America, and it was his opinion that the city of Los Angeles was less evangelized than any of those cities he had preached in South America. 16.5 million people in the L.A. basin area, 46% of them are Hispanic, and it is largely an untapped mission field. As I think of that vast area, I can in my mind's eye put circles around geographic areas with 1 million, 2 million people and think of just one or two small little struggling gospel ministries in that geographic area. A tremendous opportunity to affect the whole world. Did you know that 80% of the world's population have a seaport on the Pacific Rim? California and the sea traffic and the people that are living there, it's the largest Russian-speaking population in the United States lives in California. The largest Vietnamese-speaking population, largest Korean, largest Chinese. You just keep naming it on and on. Los Angeles, the second largest city in the world, Spanish-speaking city in the world. The opportunities are unfathomable. They're almost overwhelming. And the average church that we work with is very small. This summer, we divided the number of churches by the number of kids, and we ended up with about 17 or 18 kids per church that are coming to camp. It's a mission field that is truly that, an opportunity to plant the gospel where few people have heard the gospel. And we're finding that more and more people just have not heard the gospel. Well, the desert happens to be one of those locations that is very close to the population centers in the Southern California area. You could take from our location at Ironwood and draw a 4.5 hour circle of drive distance, and you would have probably 25 million people in that circle. Would take in much of Arizona and Southern Nevada and Southern California from Santa Barbara to San Diego. What an opportunity there. And at the time we looked at the property to purchase property for a camp, 1.5 acres in the mountains cost the same amount as 187 acres in the desert. To me, there was no choice in the matter. It was a simple matter of arithmetic and God's opening the door in that direction that led us to there, because I have a firm belief that camp is not a location. It is the people that are working there and the philosophy and the program that you're doing. And we've often said we could take our team at Ironwood and go to any church parking lot and run a successful camp ministry right there. And so the location is the least of the important things, but it has turned into a very valuable aspect for us. As you'll see here, even the Lord loved the desert. We see in Mark chapter 7, verse 31, and he said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, excuse me, not Mark 7, Mark 6. Mark 6:31. And he said unto them, Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Can you imagine these disciples? They're following around the Lord, and they're doing all these things. They just come back from Him sending them out two by two on a journey to preach the Word. And the record here is that these people were so busy. Sometimes we think we have a copyright on being busy. That we're the only ones who've ever been busy. These people were so busy coming and going that they had no leisure so much as to eat. These people would have been fast food junkies. They would have gone through the takeout line, the fast food line, you know, the drive-through line, getting something to eat real quick on the way to church. These people would have definitely needed a meal before the Wednesday evening service in order to get there. They were busy folks. And the Lord said, hey, it's time. Oh, stop. Wait, everybody. Now, the Lord was a worker. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. But still He said here, men, come yourselves apart into a desert place and let's rest a while. And coming out to another location, this is when we talk about camp, what I call the change of pace and change of place principle of camp, that one of the things that makes it such a valuable tool to reach people for the Lord and challenge them to make decisions for the Lord is that change of pace, change of place. And we do see, by the way, throughout the Scripture, I know that this word here really refers to a wilderness location, but the fact of the matter is that all through the Scripture we see God sending His men to a desert place, to a wilderness, to learn some valuable lessons, to learn that lesson that you can do nothing without me. And we see Moses spending much time in the wilderness, Elijah, John the Baptist, even Christ Himself we see going into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. And so it is a place where there's some special training, some special time, that's why God called us to that location. Okay, now, back to Philippians chapter 4. Saying all those, I need to say those to keep us all thinking about the same things as we're looking at these verses. Let's pause for a moment and pray. Lord, as we think of all the things that You've done and how You've blessed and provided in our lives and our ministries for the church here at Hampton Park, what a blessing, what a joy this is. What an encouragement to be here, to be amongst these fine people and the great work that's going on here. Lord, we thank You and we praise You and we give not man the glory, but we give You the glory. And Lord, as we look tonight at this passage of Scripture concerning Your desires and supporting those who are ministering for You, we do pray, Lord, that You would help us to see clearly what the Scripture is teaching us and that we would determine in our lives to live thereby. We pray these things now in Your name. Amen. Our ministry out at Ironwood over the years has been a ministry of God providing a little here, a little there. One of His ways that He has provided has been by Him giving us a number of His servants for a short while to come and help us. I've had the opportunity to shake hands and to rub shoulders and to talk with some of the men and the people who from this church who have been out on some of the mission trips just recently to help us out at Ironwood. But one of the men who has been a big help and encouragement to us for many long years was Mike Injan. And Mike asked me to share something with you about how God provided for our water. Now, a camp in the desert needs water, as we talked about the need of water in the desert this morning in the message. And it is an important thing. We had dug this huge lake, this man-made lake. It was huge for us. It was 10 acres in size. And it's a miraculous way the Lord even provided for that and for the machinery to do that work. But the fact is that hole in the ground was there, and we went over and pushed the button on the well, and it went and it started coughing out water at about 200 gallons a minute. And after about a half an hour, it started to dwindle. And pretty soon it was bloop, 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 and about 10 gallons at a burp. And that was all we were getting. And there's no way you're going to fill that lake with that amount of water. So we went and backed up a little ways from that spot and drilled a well. And the well driller went down and he hit solid rock at about 80 feet. And he said, there's not going to be any water come out of this. We went ahead and cased it and put in a pump to see what we could get. And we were very fortunate to sustain about 50 gallons a minute. That's not going to do the job for that lake. I mean, it would evaporate in four times faster than that. And so we went back a quarter mile on our property as far as we could back toward where we knew other wells were drilled some distance from us. And we drilled another well, and the well driller says, there isn't even any reason to put a casing in this well. This is just a dry hole. It's just a waste of money to put anything in here. And so we covered it back up, and he said, well, where do you want me to drill the next hole? As if he thought we had any money to pay for another hole in the ground. And I says, well, I don't know. Let me pray about it. And he says, well, I know this guy's got this water wand. And I says, no way. I don't want any of that stuff around here. And so I went and talked to some old-timers who lived on the desert for many years and got some advice about looking at vegetation and that kind of stuff. But mostly it was just praying and asking God. And what it boiled down to is we picked one other location, but before we started drilling, we just prayed and prayed and asked God to give us a well that would pump at least 200 gallons a minute, but it would sure be nice if we had 300 gallons a minute. Now, 200 gallons a minute is equivalent of 4 50-gallon drums every 60 seconds. Now, that's a good amount of water. And so we started, they started drilling. They drilled the well and went down about 250 feet. And put in the casing, and then the test pumper came out, and he started to test pump the well. And he got this thing up to about 100 gallons a minute, and I'm sitting there, standing there watching, and I says, come on, let's go. And he says, no. He says, we got to leave it, pump it 100 gallons a minute till the water clears up. And then we can go up higher. Well, after about 2 hours, it cleared up. And he revved it up to 150 gallons a minute. And we had to go through the same process. And I don't leave this well. I get myself a box, an old milk crate, and I sat down right by that spout where it's just pumping off into the desert. And I just watch this thing and pray. And then finally he cranks it up to 200 gallons a minute. Now, the key is that he's able to sustain that rate and keep it going and for the water to clear up. And after about 2 hours, it finally cleared up. And then it kept on going. And he started to rev it up. And I says, does that mean you think we've got 200 gallons a minute? Yeah, he says, you got a good well here, at least 200 gallons a minute. And I, woo, hallelujah. You know, I went jumping around the desert. I turned into a Pentecostal for a minute. And I don't know if they could hear me back at the house for a hollering and shouting, but I was. And they kept on going with that test pump and ended up that well was capable of producing 1,000 gallons of water every 60 seconds. Whew! Hallelujah. That was great. If you're going to have a camp in the desert, you got to have water. And God supplied abundantly. Above all that we ask or think, because a few years later we drilled a second well that was capable of producing the same amount of water, And then we drilled a third well for our domestic use that doesn't pump as much, but it wasn't designed to pump as much. So we praise the Lord that although we have pumps in the ground that pump a total of about 700 gallons a minute, we could be pumping over 2,000 gallons a minute. And God is so gracious in supplying that need to us. So there's an area that we had a need of a specific item that was necessary, we thought, for survival, for operation. But in the area of our own family and in the support of our family, how is that going to work? When we went out there, there were no churches that said they would support us. There was no group of churches that said they would come. I just felt it was God's will that we get started and we do this, and that it was a burden that He had given me to start in this area. And so we went out and started. And as I'd mentioned earlier in one of the other sessions, for 7 years, we never drew a regular salary from the ministry. And how God supplied through those years was a real testimony to His faithfulness. Now, these verses here in Philippians chapter 4 became literally to me very, very real. They became my modus operandi. This is the way that we needed to learn to live. And Betty and I looked at these verses and made decisions on them throughout our lifetime. And it's just a wonderful blessing to report to you that the formula that God gives here works in His ministry. Let's look at these verses real quick this evening, starting with verse 11. The Apostle Paul here is writing back to the Philippians. And, let's start with verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful but lacked opportunity. What he's saying there, thank you for this gift that you sent to me now. I know you helped me before, and then for a while you couldn't, but now you are again. And this is a real blessing. Thank you for this gift. And verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice there that verse we often quote as a verse that gives us a principle that I can do what God calls me to do and wants me to do, is here in the context of learning contentment. And I am convinced that for us here in America today, that this is one of our greatest challenges as believers, is to learn to be content with that which the Lord has given to us and put in our hands. And Paul said, this is something I learned. So, Christian, I want you to understand this, that when you accept the Lord as your Savior, He does not automatically put in your heart contentment. You must learn to be content. Now, this means that there is a struggle in this. God knows when I was in college, there was a struggle to learn. It was a hard thing for me to learn some of the things I had to learn. They were, many of them, first time I ever heard them. And you have to, there's struggle in learning. And what we have here is that there's a struggle in this matter of learning contentment. Paul said, I learned to be content with a little bit, and I learned to be content with a lot. And I would venture to say, I don't see it, well, there's another passage that kind of indicates this, that it perhaps is more difficult to be content with a lot than it is to be content with a little. And we in America, just compared to the rest of the world, just have a lot. We just have a lot. And to be content when you have a lot is an important thing to learn. Now, this promise, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, is a promise that Paul was claiming as the missionary. This was not a promise he was making application to people in the congregations. Now, you can give. God can give you strength to give. You give. You can do all things through Christ. Give. No, that's not the what we see here. This is saying to the missionary, with whatever I supply to you, you can do your work. You can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul is saying here. I can learn to be content with a little. I can learn to be content with a lot. Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have done well, and ye did that ye did communicate with my affliction. He's saying, now I know I can do without, but it sure is good you sent it. And that you communicated with my need here in this matter. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. From henceforth in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So he's commending them, but he's also saying, you know, there weren't a lot out there who were helping. Just you guys. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now this is a real hard lesson. This is a lesson that's hard for, at least it was hard for me. But this is a hard lesson to learn for a man of God, for a preacher, for a person who's serving God to learn. That if you give people an opportunity to give, and when they do give, that they are adding fruit to their eternal account. That the truth of the matter, the truth of the Scripture, that it's is more blessed to give than to receive. The illustration to me that I just kept coming back to, and I've studied over and over in this area, is in 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah has been sitting at the brook Cherith for a number of days. The brook is drying up. His food source, the ravens are bringing it in, but the water is gone. And that which he had been depending upon for so long is all gone before God ever shows him where the next one's coming from. And then he said to him, I want you to go to Zarephath, for there's a widow woman there that I have commanded to sustain me. Now when he got to Zarephath and he was sitting down, this widow woman came by and she was picking up sticks to go cook a meal that she might feed herself and her son and die. It was obvious when Elijah asked her to cook a meal for them that God had not given her the message yet. But he said, I've commanded her to sustain thee. But, sir, she said, this is all we have. We go and we eat this meal and then we die. And Elijah had the faith. We might say, some people might say it was a presumptuous boldness, but I believe it was faith to say, no, I want you to go and cook for me first and bring it to me. Now, when you look at some of the people who sacrificially give, your heart oftentimes say, no, no, no. You need this more than I do. And you see where you've got to get in your head and your faith is this. The giving to me, to giving to this church, to giving to whatever missionary you have here, is not giving to that person. It's giving to God. And God has promised that He will bless that person more because of their giving to Him through you, than he would if they did not give. So I have to learn to have enough faith to present the need to people who perhaps have great needs and to be able to present it in faith that God will bless them as they give. Now, I'm either a cold, callous-hearted shyster, or I have to come to that faith, or I just clam up and never say anything. But God is telling us here that that as Paul says, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So not only has God promised blessing upon this earth to those who give, but he's also said here that this is adding eternal fruit to their eternal account. And they are building treasures in heaven by that gift. Wow, I tell you what, that for somebody who is going to live of the Word gives real freedom to come to the place of realization that this is something that when people give to me, they are adding fruit to their eternal account. And not only that, it really puts pressure on us to use it well as good stewards of God's bounty upon this earth. Verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full and received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell. Notice here, look at what God is saying about this gift, that it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now there it is, the promise given again to supply the needs to those who are giving. Notice that the context of this verse is not to the missionary. This is the context to those who are giving. That to those who give, that God shall supply all their need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I could tell you story after story of how God supplied in an abundant way to meet our needs. One particular in mind that's a major thing is that for years people would ask, well, Walt, what are you going to do with your children's education? How are you saving anything for their college education? I said, no, I'm just living this month on what God gives me this month. And many months we just spend it all because that's all we have. But next month there's more. And the next month there's some more. And there never was enough to set much aside. But we praise the Lord when they finally went off to school with four kids today, all in the ministry. Between the four of them, 7 degrees. And not a late payment. And not a debt at the end of any of the degrees. Totally paid for. Wow. The Lord is faithful. And we can praise Him for how He has supplied over and over again. Verse 20, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's where we started back in Nehemiah 6:16, that they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. And all these things that we're saying is to God's honor and His glory. Our ministry at Ironwood, we praise the Lord, has flourished over the years. After 30 years, we now have 34 people on resident staff. We say that our ministry is a home missions ministry. What that means is that we consider ourselves to be home missionaries, and every one of our resident staff basically raise their own personal support through churches and individuals who give to help support them. Some of the reasoning for that is that the churches out there in the West are not big enough or numbers enough to be supportive of what's going on. But this makes it possible for us to have a camping ministry that is a ministry and a help and an aid to those churches. But what we do is we supply the housing, utilities for our staff, and a little school for the kids, health plan and so forth. And then they go out and raise their own cash support each month. And they're all serving the Lord in that capacity. And we praise the Lord for that and His faithfulness in that area, that He has supplied abundantly in those matters. I don't think we have more than one or two that are 100% of what we would consider to be all that they need, but we're praising the Lord that what is coming in is what we need right now. And that's been a blessing to see God do that over the years. So it's a home missions ministry, and we use those unique aspects of a camp, a camping ministry, to reach young people, strengthen families, and to serve churches. And we say that it's a place of decision in the areas of salvation, full surrender, and consistent Christian walk. The fact of the matter is, this last summer, we were able to, we had about 215 kids a week at camp, and many, many salvation decisions, many decisions made to go into the ministry, many decisions made for surrendering to the Lord's will in their lives. And we're at the point where we need more help, where we need to be able to build more cabins and to expand a little bit in this area. And we kind of have a philosophy working with the churches in the West that we want to build our facility to be able to handle a maximum of about 250 kids a week, and then to have a second little facility on the same property that would be like a horsemanship camp, which would be an evangelistic outreach to unchurched kids, and to be able to run that at 60 to 80 kids a week, a totally different program than the regular church camps, and an opportunity for us to get the gospel out to a lot of folks who had never hear it any other way. And in order to do that, what we need to do is go back and tear down some of the old buildings. There's buildings at Ironwood that in 1973 and 4, I went and tore down some old barracks at a military base that totaled 10,000 square feet. And I hauled all this wood home, and those barracks had been built back in the 40s. And now I got the wood out of those barracks that had been built in the 40s. I got that wood in the 70s. And then we built those cabins, and they've now been cabins since then. And we've got some that are ready, that are needing to be recycled again. And used now for storage and those kinds of things. And we've identified about 12 of those cabins. And then we want to build two more other additional cabins beside those that will increase that capacity from the 220 where we're at now to the 250, and then build that other second little camp of 60 to 80 campers in that. And each of those cabins, because they're dual usage for both adults and kids, and because of having to put in all the infrastructure for all the cabins and all the furnishing, and put in dual-type furnishings and all those kinds of things for both adults and kids, each cabin ends up costing us about $20,000 to build for the materials, and then we build with our own labor and with volunteer labor. And so we're praying right now that God would supply the need for those cabins. We haven't had a church since 1986 build one whole cabin. And in that year, the cost was $11,000. And we had two churches that year build two cabins. And those, I think, over the years have been the largest gifts we've had from a church. And so we're right now praying that God would work a special miracle and give us seven churches so that that would each build one cabin in terms of the finances, so that we can build these 14 cabins, and we'll see where the Lord supplies the rest of the funds in that area. As a kind of a theme that we're going off this, we go that the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17 that Daniel prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a sword. But the fact of the matter is, after he used the slingshot, he didn't keep using the slingshot the rest of his military career. He used it at that time because that was the tool that God had given to him and he was prepared to use. Later on, we see a few chapters later that David also girded on his sword. Now he was using a sword. And so we're going to be praying that God would move us from slings to swords and give us some of these new cabins. And at the same time, we need to remember what the Scripture says in 1 Samuel 17:47, that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear. And getting more facilities and getting more tools is not what does the job. It's God who does the job in the kids' hearts. We sow the seed, we water the seed, it's God that gives the increase. And it's the Lord who saves, not man. And not our tools, not our buildings, not our facilities, but God that does the work. And we want to give Him the honor and the glory in those matters. So I would ask of you that you would be in prayer and ask God with us that somewhere out here in these United States, the Lord would find us seven churches that would give toward this project. And we will report to you how this thing is going over the next year or two. Our goal is to see these 14 cabins built in the next 2 years and the rest of that part facility built a year or two after that. And then we praise the Lord. We have the opportunity to build a third little camp out there on 160 acres that God has just recently given us in a very miraculous way that we don't have time to share with you this evening. But we need to remember, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches by Christ Jesus. And Nehemiah said, and they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Let's pray. Thank you now, Lord, for this time of report this evening of what's going on in our ministry and the blessings that have been there. We praise you for the opportunity of service that you've given to us there. And Lord, we know that this is your ministry and not ours. And we would ask, Lord, your blessing now upon this church as well, that the great things that we're hearing of here and the spread of the gospel through the missions program and the other aspects of this church would continue. And thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this evening. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
There are probably many needs among us who are here this evening. For some, your need may be for salvation, and that's the greatest need that any of us can have. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, if you're not already a believer, that is your need. And God will abundantly supply that need for you tonight before you leave here. Now, we may have some needs that won't be supplied this evening, but that is one need that can be met tonight. Or if you are a Christian and you've turn away from God, and you're walking your own way, you're out of fellowship with Him, God will forgive you tonight, and God will restore you to fellowship. You don't have to wait on that. That is possible this evening. There may be other needs that we have that won't be met tonight, but we need to trust God for them. We need to believe that He will provide what we need, what we honestly need. So as we sing a song of invitation about our anxieties and our cares. If you have an anxiety, if you have a care, if you have a need that you need to bring to the Lord tonight, we invite you to come. If you coming as a Christian, just want to kneel here at the altar, that's fine to do that. If you want to go to the prayer room, if you're coming for salvation, let us know when you come. That's why you're coming. And we'd like to pray with you and have somebody show you clearly from the Scriptures how to be saved. Maybe your need tonight is to follow the Lord in baptism. You've never given that public testimony of your faith in Christ. Maybe it's to identify yourself with this congregation of believers. Let's turn to number 489 and stand together as we sing. And whatever that need is, will you bring it to the Lord tonight? Will you trust Him to meet it? 489. Thank you. second stanza. If no one comes, we'll close with that. But this is your opportunity to do what God would have you to do tonight. And that's all. That's all we can ask of you. Do what God wants you to do. As we sing this second stanza. Father, we thank Thee that we don't have to carry our anxieties and our cares on our own shoulders, but You've invited us to bring them to Thee. May we dare to trust Thee to meet our needs. Now, Lord, there are some things that we may have upon our hearts that may not be what we really need and may not be within Your will. So help us to discern that which is of Your will. And that which may be of our own desires. Thank You, Father, that You will lead us. You'll give us wisdom. You'll do for us what no one else is able to do. Thank You for Dr. The ministry tonight. The testimony of Ironwood. And we praise Thee, Lord, for this wonderful ministry that You have been using to have an impact upon the lives of many people. We pray that You might continue to do so, and we know You will as they're faithful to Thee. Pray about these cabins that are needed. Lord, You know just where the people are who can contribute to this, that more people might come to camp, more people might be under the sound of the gospel, more people might hear Your word and be challenged by it and find their needs met. Again, we praise Thee for the opportunity of having the Brocks here. And as we take this special love offering, I pray, Lord, we'll do it out of our heart of love for them. And as we give to them, that we will glorify You. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated for just a minute. Your name is Brock, isn't it? Okay. The Brocks have had a busy weekend with us. They've had 14 different sessions between them. So we've kept them busy. And we want to send them away with a good love offering. Labor is worthy of his hire, the Bible tells us. And I know they've challenged us and blessed us. And we want to be a blessing to them. You know, we've been operating on Philippians 4:19 here at Hampton Park. We believe that as we contribute to the needs of others, that God will take care of our needs. And He has done that. So that tonight is a ministry we're completely debt-free, and we owe no one anything as far as financial needs are concerned. We have a lot of debt out there to give people the gospel, but I'm talking about for our plant. All of that's been provided by God, and at the same time He's provided for us to take care of helping many, many missionaries and many, many organizations such as Ironwood. So we thank Him for His faithfulness. He's proved that faithfulness here. And if you've been here any time at all, you know He's done that. You know He's proved that. So men, would you please come? And everything that we give in this offering tonight will go for our love gift for the Brocks. It may be that the Lord will allow us as a church to have a part in this project that Walt has mentioned. But maybe you want to have a personal part in it. There may be some folks out here tonight that have $20,000 of the Lord's money that you've just been saving for some special project. And maybe the Lord has impressed this upon you. So I know that He'll be glad to talk with you about it after the service tonight. Rocks will be out front after we're dismissed. A song very close to the one we just sang is number 487, God Will Take Care of You. We'll sing just the first stanza. Let's stand together. 487, and with this we'll be dismissed. I'd like to remind the ladies about signing up for the ladies' retreat back in the ministry center tonight. Take care of that.